I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm glad to have Jesus as a friend.
Yes.
And I'm glad to say this morning that by the help and grace of God, I'm his friend, and I mean to be that way until I die.
Yes.
The song we sang, "'Tis Well With Me, 'Tis Well," it's encouraging to my heart. And sometimes the Lord will give me that song because he knows I need encouragement. I've got to, by the help of the Lord, I don't ever want to be up here just giving you my thoughts. I don't ever want to be up here just in my own self trying to do something that the Lord is not in. I want the Lord to be in everything that I do. And I want souls to be blessed. I want them to be encouraged. I want them to get the help that they need. And so I need you to pray for me this morning. The title of the message this morning is Give No Place. Give No Place. And it's directly related to, I know when we talk about this scripture, Ephesians 4:27, we'll read it in a moment. But when we talk about this scripture, most of the time, what we're talking about is us not giving the enemy place in our lives so that we can be remain saved, we can be the children of God that he wants us to be. But the way that the Lord gave it to me when I was studying this week, when I was seeking the Lord, he gave it to me in a way that, yes, give no place to the devil in our own lives, but the significance is what kind of example that you and I are leading. We have a responsibility as the people of God to leave an example that gives no place to the devil. All right? What you do and what I do is very important to those that are looking on. Because the enemy is all the time looking for something to subvert the truth of God's word.
Yes.
He wants to discredit the love of God. He wants to take the love of God and God himself out of your and my consciousness. He does not want you and I to have to deal with the fact that God loves us and we've got to go see him one way or another, sooner or later, by the help and grace of God. And so you and I are to be written epistles, read and known of men. We want God's will to be done in our lives. And the way that we're going to do that is by living for him in a way that leaves a righteous and a holy example before our fellow man. And so we don't want to give the devil any room to work in your life, in my life, by the grace and help of God. We want to be that example that he's wanting to be us to be. Ephesians 4:27, what does that say?
Neither give place to the devil.
Very simple scripture, very short scripture. Neither give place to the devil. The enemy of all souls is always looking for room to work. He wants to work in your life. He wants to work in the lives that of the people that are looking on. And so the example that you and I are setting is very important. People are watching our lives, and the enemy would love for us to set a poor example. Somebody go to 1 Timothy 4:12 and read that for us, please. If you beat us there, go ahead and read it, please. 1 Timothy 4:12. Please pray for me. All right, it says, go ahead. Let no man despise thy youth. I want you to listen here. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. All right, and so he's given us some instruction here. But I want us to understand something. There are a lot of people that profess salvation. There's a lot of people that say that they know the Lord and that they are saved.
Right.
But it's not what we say that has the most weight. It's what we do.
Right.
All right? What we say does have weight, especially when what we say and what we do agree. All right? And so what we have to do is we've got to do more than talk about living for the Lord.
Yeah.
But we have to live an example before our fellow man that agrees with the profession that we have. A lot of people are talking about it, but they're not being about it by the grace and help of God. And so we want, for God wants us to be living what we're saying by the grace and help of God. We have an opportunity to be a blessing and a help to a dark and sinful world. And so we need the Lord to bless us and to help us to take that opportunity in Jesus' name. All right, so the enemy's looking for a place to work. We already talked about that. So we've got to be very careful about how we live this life. The first thing it said in Ephesians 4 and 12 that I want us to take note of, it says, be an example of the believers in word. All right, the way that the Lord brought this over to me was that the word of God is powerful. Yes. All right, and it is what you and I as Christians are supposed to be living our lives by. All right? And so when we read the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God, we are supposed to take that and apply it to our lives, and it is supposed to become a part of us. Yes. All right? And so, in essence, we are like the Word of God walking around. There should be no separation between the Word of God. This is what we're striving for. There should be no separation between the Word of God and who we are as people.
Right.
May God help us. Amen. And so the Word of God is really, when it talks about being an example of the believers and not giving place to the enemy, when somebody sees us, do they see Christ in us?
Yes.
Do they see the Word of God lived in us? Or is there separation? Is there something that the enemy could point to in your and my life and say, well, they say they're Christians, but they're doing this. They say they're Christians, but they're not doing that. You understand? And so what God is wanting to do is when he wants us to live in a way that the enemy can't stand back and side bust and make comments about our lives, he can do that, but there can't be no truth to it.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? A false accuser is exactly that. He's a false accuser.
Right.
All right? But if there's some truth in it, then we got a problem. We got something to deal with.
Yeah.
And so what we need the Lord to do is when it says in word, let the word penetrate our hearts. Let it be something that we value and apply to our lives. And then we live it in such a way that there's no separation between the word of God and what we are doing. All right, this will actually be a defense against what the enemy is trying to do. It will stifle what the enemy is trying to do. Somebody read Psalms 119 and 105. You may know that by heart. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, but they're all going to be scriptures that we know. The word is supposed to be something that we live by, that becomes intermarried and becomes actually a part of us, where you can't even understand. There's no separation there. May God help us. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Yeah. Is the word of God such of such importance in your life that you are allowing it to be the light of your life? Are you allowing it to lead and guide and direct you in your life? All right, when somebody else is looking on and they're looking at you, and this is nothing to be discouraged about, because understand that when we get the information, what we do is we say, Lord, if there's some disparity here, if there's some weakness here, Lord, if there's some failure going on here, pray for me, then Lord, help me to measure up. Lord, help me to do better. I want to be the man of God that you're calling on me to be. I want to be the child of God that you're calling on me to be. And so when you're listening to the word of God this morning and you find that maybe there's some room for growth, don't be discouraged this morning, but ask the Lord to help you. Draw closer to the Lord. Let him help you. He will help you. He says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. way. If that's not your situation this morning, and you're claiming to be a child of God, then by the grace and help of God, understand you got work to do. Yeah. And then begin to roll your sleeves up by the help of the Lord and allow Him to help you get where you need to be in concerning and regarding the Word of God. Yeah. The devil wants to sit back and say, I know what the Word says, and this is not what you are doing. And so he's accusing you to other people. He might not come to you because you can say, I'm on my way there by the help of the Lord. But the other people that are looking on, well, he's going to tell them, well, look at it. Look at what they do. Bible says, love thy neighbor. Bible says, Bible says, love your enemy. Huh? Bible says, do good to them that do you wrong. See? It gets close.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Us meaning me included. Us meaning me especially by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
The Word gives us the instruction.
Yeah.
All of the Word is in the same direction. Yeah. It does not contradict itself.
No.
All right? And so when we are endeavoring to live for the Lord and put our efforts toward pleasing the Lord, then God is pleased with that. But if we find that we need to move up, then by the grace and help of God, don't let us be one of those examples that are a poor example of a child of God.
Yeah.
All right, going back to 1 Timothy 4 and 12, it says, be thou an example of the believers in word, and then what does it say next?
In conversation.
Do you know that, well, we said earlier that what we do is more important than what we say? But we did say that what we say is important too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? We have to be careful about the words that we use and how we use them, when we use them, what spirit that we are in when we use the words that we're using. Does it even need to be said is the question by the grace and help of God. All right? Because what I say can cause so much harm, and so one sentence can destroy someone. One sentence can destroy someone. All right? And so God is calling for His people.
Yeah.
If we're going to be examples of the believers, if we're going to be somebody that the enemy cannot point out as somebody that's not living right, if we're going to be a good example of the believers, then God wants us to be careful about the words that we say.
Yeah.
All right? Be careful. Find out if it needs to be said in the first place. And then if it does need to be said, check your spirit. Is your spirit right?
Right.
All right? Are you? A lot of times we say, well, it was the truth.
Uh-huh.
What does the Bible say about speaking the truth? Speak the truth in love, you see.
Yes.
And so it's not just the truth
right.
that we can't leave behind the love portion of the verse.
Right.
We speak the truth in love. If I can't speak the truth to you in love, then now is not the time for me to say what
That's
needs
right.
to be said, even though it may be true.
That's right.
May God help us this morning. Because what's he doing? The enemy is looking. You know, you got people that are looking on. And they're saying, this person is saying they're saved, and I think they're saved, but the devil, he's on the other side, and he's trying to do all he can to get in there and deter them from coming the way of God.
Yes.
All right? This happens with parents and children. This happens with siblings. This happens with husbands and wives. How are we going to win people to Christ when the words that we say are not of God? They're not in the right spirit. We come and we do harm to people, and then we don't ask for forgiveness. We just go and do damage, and then they're just left with where they are, and they're trying to believe that God's word is true. They're trying to come to God, but now we've done something that we shouldn't have done. May God help us this morning. If you do something like that, ask God to forgive you, ask them to forgive you, and don't quit until you make it right.
Yeah.
And then learn from it by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
I'm telling you something that I've had to learn and am learning from experience.
Yeah.
All right? My words are very important. Let's read about the words. All right? You know this scripture, Psalms 34 and 13. And somebody else get Proverbs 25 and 11. What Psalms 34 and 13 say?
Keep thy tongue from evil.
Keep your tongue from evil.
And thy lips from speaking
God. All right. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking God. That means that be careful about what you say.
Yeah.
All right? Don't cause harm with what you're saying, and don't be deceptive with what you're saying. Guile is a form of deception. All right? You intend to deceive. All right? And then what ends up happening is somebody come along after you, and they're thinking about it, and they see the deception that you're speaking. And then the enemy comes in and says, oh, I thought they were saved. I thought they was living right. They supposed to be, if that's the example, well, then I'm doing pretty good too then. You see? May God help us. Proverbs 25 and verse number 11. What's that say?
A word fitly spoken.
All right.
A word fitly spoken
is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. In other words, I can encourage and uplift, or I can discourage and I can cast down,
right,
based on what comes out of my mouth.
Right.
May God help us. This is something, the Bible says, the meek will he guide in judgment, the meek will he what? Teach his way. All right, so God's way is a different way. It's a meek and a lowly way. And it teaches us to use our words not as weapons to cause harm, but as something that would heal, as something that would lift up, as something that would bless, as something that would encourage. God's way teaches us that. And that's the love of God that he was talking about right before we went to prayer. He's talking about the love of God. True love of God is going to teach us, even in these difficult situations, to find a word to say that would be a blessing. Bible says a soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath, but grievous words do what? Stir up anger. And so you and me as people of God, the words that I say are going to have an effect. Let them be the right effect. Let them be the desirable effect, so that the enemy can't come and do something with this. You know, I have children. I you know, children can try you. Did you know that? My children are good children. I don't know how that happened, but they are. Thank God for that. But they're still children.
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful how you deal with your children. You want to know why a lot of people's children ain't saved? Do you want to know why?
Tell us.
May God help us.
Yeah.
May God help us. Sometimes we as parents can say and do things that hurt people.
Yes.
Now, God is a healer.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the devil, though?
Yes.
He's a destroyer, isn't he?
Yeah.
So what do you think he's doing when that hurt comes?
Right.
What do you think he's doing? To that child, they say they love you.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that and they did that.
Mm-hmm.
They know that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it.
Mm-hmm.
We know it. Because God deals with us.
Yeah.
Now, ain't none of us perfect.
Yeah.
And we've all made mistakes. I've made them too.
Yeah.
When God come and deal with you about how you dealt with your wife, mm-hmm, how you dealt with your husband, how you dealt with your children, your move, by the grace and help of God, you want to take that place away from the devil. The moment that the injury was caused, the devil showed up.
Yes.
The devil showed up. He was waiting. He was like this. And he's coming and he's wanting to pounce on that.
Yes.
All right? All the good that you did, all the good that you did before that, forget that. Let's focus on this and let's ride this thing until you don't want anything to do with the Lord and the people of God. And so you know what you do if you've messed up? You ask forgiveness.
Yes.
I don't care if you're the parent. I don't care if you... Sometimes we think as parents we you know, I'm the parent and I could have made a mistake. And if I did make a mistake, well, they make mistakes too. You know, we come with all kinds of nonsense. That's not going to help.
Right.
That's true.
So you messed it up with a messed up word. Now fix it with a good word.
Amen.
Go get in the right spirit. Remember we talked about the right spirit?
Yes.
Remember we talked about, does it need to be said at all? Remember we talked about that? Remember we talked about what I say, when I say it, how I say it is important. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've messed up. Now help me to humble myself and fix this. Will you go before me? See, this is why the devil fights.
Yeah.
This is why the devil, this is what he's fighting. Yeah. He's fighting all of this, okay? Because he doesn't want parents to know, husbands to know, wives to know, all of us to know that these things can be fixed. It's going to take a little humility, and it's going to take some prayer. Listen, pray and say, Lord, will you talk to that person? I messed up. I'm sorry. Now go and talk to that person, please, because I'm going to go talk to them too, and I'm going to make it right.
Yeah,
sure. And you know what makes it right? It's not the really, it's the words, but it's the spirit in which you come. You come with that right spirit, and you come humble. You say, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about what you did. I don't care about what you did. I know I did wrong, and I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, daughter. Please forgive me. I'm sorry, husband. I'm sorry, wife. I'm sorry, sister, brother. I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. And what God has already done, as you're kneeling on your knees and you're asking him to help, I'm trying to give you an understanding of how this works. As you come to him, he said, before you call, I'll what?
Yes.
And while you're yet speaking, all right, I will hear. And so you get down on your knees, and you're asking the Lord, and he's already sending his Holy Spirit to go deal with them and soften their heart, and he's working on you to soften your heart. And when you come back together, you like Esau and Jacob, you can't even talk. You just, you're just happy to be back together.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But what if I don't humble myself? You see? He never loved me. She never loved me. He always treated my brother better than me. You see? You see? Stronghold. Giant. Not that you can't overcome these things, but they're not easy. They're a whole lot easier if they're not there. You see? May the Lord help us this morning.
Yes.
So in word, in conversation, all right, it says, what's the third thing it says? It says what, in charity?
In charity.
What is charity? Somebody talk to me this morning about charity. Anybody? Love of God in us?
Yes.
What else? It's going out to somebody. What's God? What good is God's love in us if it don't go out to somebody else? Charity is what we do with the love of God. All right? And so it's not just the love of God. It's not just the love of God in us. It's what we do. Right? If you think about the charity scriptures, they're thinking no evil. It's long-suffering. You know, see what I'm saying? It's what we do with the love of God. Right? And so what better way for the enemy to get in there and cause harm to the love of God and the flow of the love of God. Understand, the love of God comes down into us, and it's not supposed to stop there. It's supposed to go out to those that we come in contact with, right? That's why we have it in the first place. So we have our love between us and God, but we also ought to have love for the people that we come in contact with. We're supposed to have that. That's what they need to see. That's what draws them to Christ, right? All right? And so what the enemy is trying to do is, he's trying to stop the flow. So the love is coming down, and it's supposed to go out, and he's trying to get something right here in between you and me. What does that? What does it? Offenses.
Yeah.
Offenses. All right? I am offended at Brother Johnson because he didn't mention me in his thanks. You know what I mean? It doesn't really matter what the offense is.
Right.
Some offenses are real and some offenses are imagined.
Right.
Some are contrived of the enemy.
Right.
They don't really exist. We think they exist because of the condition that we are in.
Right.
All right? But the intent is the same. He doesn't want the love of God, charity, to go out to the person that needs it.
Right.
He loves to abuse. The devil is an abuser. He loves to abuse people.
Yeah.
And so what he does is, not only does he abuse them, but he separates them from those that love them, those that care about them, so he can just have them all to himself, so he can just pound on them and kick them and beat them while they're down and pour salt in their wounds.
Right?
Right? That's what he loves.
Yes.
But if you got somebody that is on your, that loves God and that cares about your soul and that will not go away. As many times as you push the people of God away, the harder you push, the more they love you.
Yes.
Huh? Come on now. Yes. The harder you push, the more they love you. My mama was like that.
Yes.
Y'all don't get tired of me talking about my mama? That's too bad. My mama was a child of God, and my mother showed the love of God.
Yes.
She had it in her heart, and so I talked crazy to her, and she still loved me. I said, what is this? This don't make no sense. She reached out to me, and I pushed her away. This don't make no sense. Only the love of God can do that. Only the love of God can do that. And guess what? I had to do something with that. I couldn't get rid of that. I couldn't get rid of it. So there's something that she has that I don't have. And I need it. All right? The love of God is not just Him loving us from on high, but it comes through the people of God to others. And that draws people to the cross. That draws them to their knees. May God help us this morning. And so charity, what does it do? It suffers long. Charity is kind. You see, all these things are talking about what love does.
Right?
Right? And it does me no good to talk about it. Oh, I got all this love. All kinds of love. As soon as somebody step on my toe, I let them know. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Help us, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me, Lord.
Because
it's easy to love those that love you back. It's easy to love those that are good to you, but it's not easy to love the unlovable. But that's what Christ did for us. While we were yet sinners, what? He died for us. That's why we love Him, see? All right, read a scripture to go along with that. 1 Peter 4:8, what does it say? I want you to get a hold of what it's saying here. 1 Peter 4:8.
And above all things,
all right.
Have perfect charity among yourselves.
All right. Y'all get the last portion of that. Please read that again, just in case we might have missed something.
For charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
All right. So you and I as human beings, we are prone to mistakes, missteps, failure. We're not very good at anything. We think we are. If you ask us, we'll let you know how great we are sometimes. But that's not the reality.
Right.
We're human beings, and so we make mistakes.
Yeah.
But charity, which is love in action, what does it do? Covers. It covers.
Yeah.
All right? And I'll give you an example. Just like I was talking about with my mother, I'm sure there's a lot of mothers that are the same way. You got the child, and what do mothers do better than anything is they love.
Yeah.
They love their children, they love their husband, they love everybody. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But in this instance, mama was tired, and she spoke a sharp word or whatever the case may be. What does the child do? Oh, I don't care about what she said. I don't care about what she did. I know that she loves me because she shows me that she loves me all the time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, covering the multitude of sins. Covering the multitude. In one sense, it means a multitude or a great and many transgressions. You and I, as people of God, if we're going to maintain healthy relationships, we're going to have charity in our hearts. Because your husband, I'm sorry to tell you, is going to get on your nerves. Might be today. Your wife is going to get on your nerves. See, nobody wants to talk about that. You're going to get on somebody's nerves too.
Right.
That's just the way it is. And so what charity does is allow that to happen, but you still don't lose the health of the relationship, the value of the relationship.
Yeah.
All right? And so that's what God wants us to have, that love that covers a multitude of transgressions.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? And so God wants us to have that. May God help us this morning. If we're going to be an example of the believers, if we're going to be somebody that the enemy, you remember in the Bible when the devil came and he was talking to Jesus, and he said, I've been walking up and down to and fro the earth. I'm trying to find somebody to do in, basically. And what did God say? Have you considered my servant Job? Mm-hmm. God wants you and I to be in that place.
Yeah.
Not that I want to go through what Job went through. But I'm talking about having a relationship with God where God can recommend you.
Yes.
God can condone your life.
Yes.
See, the devil can't work. He tried to work with Job. He tried to get Job to curse God and die, but Job wouldn't do it, would he?
Amen.
You see? May God help us this morning. All right, it says in charity. In spirit, I'm running out of time. In faith and in purity. I've got something on all three of those. But for the sake of time, I believe that maybe we can get the remainder of this. Let me write a continue to be continued in here. Maybe we'll get that at another time.
Yeah.
My point is this morning, if you get nothing else, what the Lord was trying to get over to me and help me to see in a greater way and a better way is the enemy's looking for something to point out in our lives.
Right.
That he can discredit. What he's wanting to do is discredit you.
Right.
And then once he discredits you, then what he's going to do is piggyback on that and try to discredit God.
Right. Yeah.
In your mind. Now, he can't discredit God, but he can do it in your mind, in my mind, if we let him. All right? And so what we want to do is we want to remove all of that opportunity from the enemy.
Yes.
We don't want the enemy to have anything to point at in our lives where he can say, okay, I got room to work now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to this one, this person that's in the valley of decision, this person that's wanting to be saved, this person that the Lord is dealing with. I'm going to go to them and I'm going to point these things out and see if that don't keep them from living for the Lord, from giving their heart to God. And so understand this. It seems like a lot. It seems like it might be difficult, but we can do all things through who?
Right.
Through Christ.
Yeah.
And so what we're doing is that what this message is about is, are we examining ourselves and seeing where we are? Mm-hmm. All right. If there is an issue, if there is a problem, then we have opportunity, whether it be at this altar, at some altar, where we go to the Lord and say, listen, I've got some problem here and I'm wanting you to help me with it.
Yeah.
And then we move forward and we draw closer to the Lord. Bible says, draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you.
Yeah.
All right. And so we began to move in the area that we are deficient. I'll say it that way.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with deficiency unless we become comfortable with it, unless we accept it and we embrace it, and we're not willing to make the changes that we need to make. But if we just acknowledge, yes, this is where I'm at, and Lord, I'm coming, I'm going to get where you want me to be by the grace and help of God, then that deficiency becomes a positive. That's something that we can work on and make better by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
What we don't want to do is give the enemy any opportunity to come in and point at you and point at me and discredit us because of something that is wrong, that is true. Mm-hmm. It's something that's about us that's true. See, he likes truth when it's that way. He likes truth when it's that way. If I'm deficient and he can point at my deficiency, then we'll talk about the truth of that.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, so here comes the trickeration. Because of that truth, then here comes the lie after that. Then God is not real. If God can't help them, he can't help you. Whatever the case may be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so what we need to understand is take that tool and that weapon away from him by the grace and help of God.
Yeah.
And God will help us to do it. I appreciate your time, your attention.